Hello, and welcome to Cultpix Radio, WCPX 66.6 in your psalm book. With me, your host, Django Nudo.
And I am the Chilean who has assassinated the smut peddler and taken his place in the podcast today.
Oh my god. We have a new participant, a new team member from Cultpix. Yes, well, he had it coming, so I can't really blame you. But good to have you on, Chilean.
It feels really good, I have to say. I have really looked forward towards this.
Now, you've been doing some amazing work from us, which is what we're going to be talking about first before we move on and then have a look at this week's theme week, which, of course, is Sexy Mondo. Appropriate to have the Chilean on this week. But what we really want to get into is the fact that you have background in not just assassinations, but also market research and business administration. And you did an amazing quantitative study for us on Cultpix. And the first thing you told us, which shocked me, and then I saw the point of it, you said to us, the thing you have to understand is Cultpix is not for you. Meaning for me and Smut Peddler, it's for the members.
Very much. And I think the basis of this study very much comes from that direction, because it's all about people using Cultpix.
Yes, so, you know, and it was a good wake-up call, because obviously we've been doing it not because we're getting rich anytime soon, but because we thought it'd be fun and worthwhile, but obviously completely driven and shaped by our taste, preferences, prejudice, and biased. But what this quantitative study that you did was really laid bare of what other people think, and it was great methodical. So I'd like to talk a little bit about sort of the background to it and the kind of some of the key findings from it without going through everything in detail. But can you tell us a little bit about how you went about doing it?
Of course, yes. Well, so the most important part when doing a study like this is trying to get to know the audience. And so what I really try to find is what people are happy with and what people might be dissatisfied with. And so when making a study, it's very much important to try and direct it in the proper manner so that we can get the best results, because that is all that this study is about. We want to make Cultpix the best it can be. Mm.
And you put together a very good online questionnaire, and we've reached out to our members through a number of platforms and asked them to respond and fill in. And we had a very good response. I mean, without giving away the numbers, I think something like over 5% of all of our members participated in this, which should make it a statistically representative sample.
Very much. And it really helps us to understand the audience, let's say. It really helps us direct, and we know where people are from and we know what they like. And so, yeah.
So some of the findings were not a surprise, and some of them were. So just running through, first of all, not surprisingly, the majority or the biggest group of members are roughly people in my age, sort of in the 41 to 50 bracket. And not surprisingly, the majority of them come from Europe. I would suspect, although we didn't break it down within that most of those would probably be from Sweden, if not Finland. And they've been members for Cultpix for many of them since it was launched last June. So, but what I want to home in on, and not because I'm happy with the results, but you measured the satisfaction level, and what was the findings there?
Well, I would say that most people are very much happy with the service. And of course, we know that there might be some people that, you know, they weren't as happy, but the big majority of people are very much happy with what we have delivered so far.
So I saw on the graph, rating it not from a scale from 1 to 6, it actually kept going up. So nobody rated it a 1, and the biggest group, 34%, rated it a 6. So obviously over one third are as happy as they can be with the service, and then you know a quarter are a five, and then very few, about 10%, rated a two or a three. So there's room for improvement, but
there is.
Yeah. We also asked them about how easily they found everything accessible on the service, and again, the biggest group gave it a six, 32%. So again, I suppose a reasonable pat on our back.
Yes. It very much is so that most people are very much happy with the service. What we want to try and do is we want to find out if people are dissatisfied with the service, what we can do to improve it. But it's always very comforting to see that it is almost like an uptrend going when you look at the graphs and how people feel about the service.
Of course, it could be just that the only people who responded are the people who are happy, and the people who are unhappy left it a long time ago. But we'd like to think that we're doing something right, but obviously still enough people who are sort of, yeah, it's good, but you know, obviously could be better. Now, you'd also ask for anything specific that needed changing. Are there any things that stood out in terms of what's frequently mentioned or individual suggestions?
Well, I'd say the most frequent suggestion would be to change the login method. People find it, well, they're used to the normal sort of password and username login, so that I think that's where people that's what
the SMS code way sometimes doesn't work ideally, or there's a delay, so it's something we're reviewing. We might switch over to a more traditional login method, but we have less problems than we had before, but
we are looking into it, and of course, and I think that the second thing that people actually asked for, which was to create an app and make it available for Chromecast use. And I can say that, and of course you can too, that this is very much a change that's coming up.
Yep. Definitely had the request for a Roku app. I mean, some people literally writing and saying, the day you have a Roku app, the day I'll sign up to you. So, and that is very, very imminent. Hopefully before the end of February, but definitely this quarter.
Yes.
So in terms of
the individual comments that we had, and we're looking into every single comment that is being put in, and that is for example being able to rate films and having categories so that you can more easily access the weekly emails, and of course some people are requesting more exploitations and cult movies from European countries like Germany and Italy. So there's many things that people have commented, and we're looking into all of it. And like I said, the more people that can get in and comment on these studies that we release, that the better we can make this.
Yeah, definitely. So don't be afraid to complain or raise concerns or come back with constructive criticism. And that goes for the platform as well as the content. As we've learned, you know, this is your platform. This is not mine or Smut Peddler's platform. So we want to make it as good as we can for our members. And on that issue, you also asked how easy it was for people to find us and contact us. We didn't have the highest score there in terms of a six, although it was second highest. I think 36% gave it a 5 out of 6. So it's good.
But it can be better.
Yeah, definitely can be better. And you had some good, easy suggestions, like just sticking our email more prominently on the bottom of the website. So
yeah, we definitely want everybody to be able to contact us if there is issues or if there's any wishes or anything.
Yeah. Next up, this one surprised me, is what were people's preferred genres? Because I would have assumed, and looking at sort of what's popular on the site, that it would have been maybe the nudies or the erotica, but they weren't the top categories, were they?
No, they weren't. Like the most popular categories were actually science fiction and horror and thriller, not falling too far behind. And of course, I mean, cult films are very much known for being horrors, and it's definitely interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. I was surprised, but science fiction stands out. I mean, with 65% and horror far behind with 62%, and thrillers in joint third place at 51% of people who mentioned, together with nudies. Now, we did split up the nudies and the erotica, so maybe if we'd combined them, they would have been biggest. But yeah, definitely science fiction horror is what people want more of. Also, action and crime, and even experimental, the things that perhaps not surprisingly, people weren't that keen on musicals, westerns, martial arts, surprisingly low, just 17%, but not as low as musicals, 3.4%. So obviously it'll guide us, help us when we decide future films, as will the suggestions about specific countries and directors, but really an eye-opener, this genre questionnaire bit.
Yeah, this is super useful because this actually helps us to allocate resources in the right areas. And I think that's super important for
Yeah,
colleagues.
absolutely. No, we only have limited budgets and only so many hours in the day, so this is great. And then we mentioned the kind of directors that people would like to see, and again, it was fun. The sheer variety of responses, everything from trauma catalog to Swedish directors 40s and 60s, more giallo. Once I directors I'd never heard about, I'll be honest. I mean,
Yeah, but this is super interesting. Like I said, because this is why a study like this is so helpful for us. Because I mean, if everybody chimes in, we can get this even better than it is now. And you guys know probably a lot of directors that we don't know about. So anybody that you feel like we should look into, just send it in, and it really helps us to find the right material to put on the service.
It does, and we learn and we discover new things. And yeah, obvious names like Jess Franco keep coming up. Somebody having a laugh, suggesting Otto van der Leyfen, who's a bit of a fictional character of Björn of Ibenius. But hey, keep them coming. We're really loving this. And so, moving swiftly on, would they recommend cult pics to somebody they know? Would they, Chilean?
They would, the way we see it,
Yay.
44% or 45% even says absolutely yes. They gave it a six, and this is super good news for us because that means that people are actually happy with it.
Yeah, and word of mouth is the best kind of advertising. So now again, not to slap ourselves in the back, and like I said, maybe the people who would never recommend us have long ago left. But no, this was a nice validation, although of course it doesn't make us complacent, doesn't mean we're resting on the laurels, can always improve and do better.
Of
So
course, of course.
it really set us up for how we can plan for the future and plan for the year ahead. So any general thoughts about this study and or kind of the next steps and what you see as the kind of value that it brings to us in addition to what we've talked about?
Well, I would say that the next step would be, because this was very much a quantitative study made where people can essentially just click and they give us some statistics. But what we would really need now is to deep dive and maybe get to interview one of you guys or a couple of you where we really can find out how you use it and go into detail into a more qualitative study. Because again, we want this to be the best it can be, and all we need every single soul's help. We need all of your help to really make this into the service that it really wants to be.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gents, you heard the Chilean there. Super fans, casual fans, those of you annoyed with us but paid for a year already, do get in touch with us on social media or email the usual channels because we would like to speak to you. And many of you have already done a great job of being in touch, but we want to hear more. And the Chilean's done such a great job that hopefully it'll help shape Cult Picks to be even more of your platform, your go-to place for all the weird and wonderful cult films, not just the ones that we happen to like. So a really big thank you to the Chilean for doing this, and we'll definitely have you back in the future to talk about this and other things. I mean, you've had some great suggestions, like the fact that maybe we should have a camera and record this and stick this podcast on YouTube as well.
Yeah, definitely. And we're also, because I'm actually fairly new to cult films, and I would love to make some reaction films to this or reaction clips to a lot of the films that we have. And that is actually a question we're throwing out to you guys now. Would that be interesting for you to see? Because like I said, I am very much new to this and it's a whole new world and I am, it's mind blowing just how many films I have missed that that are just amazing.
Same here. And some films, you know, I do show them to friends and family and they go, my God. So I'd love to see that for people, but definitely something we have to work on. But for now, a huge thank you to The Chilean.
Thank you.
That was a clip from the score of Women of the World, composed by Riz Ortolani, who also made the music for Mondokane, Echo, and a lot of other movies. And I am the smut peddler resurrected from the dead.
Damn it. There's no keeping a bad villain down forever.
No. Bad powder doesn't go away so easily, as we say in Sweden.
Yes. Good to have you back. And
thank you. Yeah, I feel enlivened again.
So this week we have a trip around the world planned, a cellular trip around the world, or rather trip around the mondo.
Yeah, a sexy trip around the world.
So we have so many mondo films, mainly thanks to our friend Lisa at Something Weird Video, that we decided to split it into two. So we have sexy mondo this week, and
tribal mondo coming up in this spring. And pray ask, what is a mondo film? Well, I found a wonderful explanation on the Wikipedia, which I would like to read out loud because I think it pretty much says it all.
Go for it.
A mondo film, from the Italian word for world, is an exploitation documentary film, sometimes resembling a pseudo-documentary, usually depicting sensational topics, scenes, and situations. Common traits of mondo films include emphasis on taboo subjects such as death and sex, portrayals of foreign cultures that have received accusations of racism, and staged sequences, presented as genuine documentary footage. The term shockumentary has also been used to describe the genre. And so, of course, we want to show those.
And effectively, it's really just another way of getting around the censors, because these were big in the 60s before, you know, there was a free-for-all. And I assume clever exploitation producers, in addition to the educational sex documentaries and the nudie kind of innocent women playing, you know, volleyball without a kid on, this was another way of showing boobs on the big screen.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, this had been going on even since the silent movie era with travelogues to Africa, because you can show tribal women with their boobs out, but not white women in America or Europe. Mm. So, but it was basically thanks to one specific film that the genre got its name, and that was the 1962 Mondokane, which basically means a dog's world,
yes,
by the, I would say, pioneers Paolo Cavara, Gualtiero Giacopetti, and Franco Prosperi. Mm. And they coined the phrase through this title, and it took off, and it really became a success. And they made a bunch of films themselves. We will actually have two of them presented, one in this week's season and one in the next season. And it's And also they made a very notorious film called Africa Adio in 1966. So yes, in a span of 3-4 years, they made a bunch of movies.
But what it meant was, having taken off as a label, it mean you could stick the Mondo thing onto pretty much anything.
Yeah,
and
basically,
be guaranteed to have at least some interest and appeal from spectators.
Yeah, and films that we won't have, but are good examples. And I mean, the Americans really, they really jumped the bandwagon quickly. But we have Mondo Bizarro, Mondo Daytona, Mondo Mod, Mondo Infame, Mondo Hollywood, Mondo Freudo, Mondo Trasho, Mondo Weirdo, Mondo Keyhole.
Oh yeah, and
I mean,
once the floodgates were opened, you know, anything, you know, the depravity and level of gratuitousness needed to lure people in terms
yeah,
of, you know, cruelty
yeah
to animals. I mean, it's yeah.
Yeah, and they really upped the game all the time because people wanted more and more sensational stuff. So
yeah,
at first you could get away, you know, with just basically showing some nudity and real, unfortunately, then real killings of animals.
Yes.
But it went on and on from that, and I mean they covered basically all kinds of subjects, claiming they were documentaries.
And do we know why it started in Italy? It's just that we had these particular, you know, creative talent behind it who came upon the idea first, because I generally don't
think
the
I think there might be some cynicism in the blood.
We like that. Well, I realized that after, obviously we'll come to the end and how the whole thing wrapped up when hardcore took over, but it kind of had a revival, I think, in the 90s, because I realized I grew up as a student, because on and British television, they had the equivalent of Mondo called Eurotrash with Andre de Kern and Lola Ferrari, which was pretty much Mondo of just finding the weirdest and wackiest thing happening anywhere in Europe. And
yeah, you know, and I mean, and the Mondo thing, obviously, it had to end because nowadays television is filled up with it. And I just read on the site We Are Movie Geek by a guy called Aaron Aubuchon. He writes something, I think, a really interesting analysis. And he says that in modern television, we get shows about the celebrities doing strange things and people desperately wanting to be celebrities and normal people doing insane things for money.
Yeah.
And we look at this and we think it's indicative of some new shortcoming in the moral or intellectual fabric of our times, yeah, as if this was something new.
No, no.
It goes way, way, way back.
Yeah, and also it keeps being reinvented. You know, there's the VHS kind of clips and, you know, on YouTube. Nothing as extreme as, obviously, animal killings, but definitely clip reels. So, but
yeah, and then, of course, you had a game changer in 1978 with Faces of Death.
Ooh. Yes,
which claimed to portray real killings of people, including an electric chair execution.
Yeah, not seen that one, but heard about it.
Yeah, yeah, and just like with many of the other Mondo films, it's a mix of fake and real, so
yes,
it's very, very hard to know what's what.
Yes, and yeah, branding. Anyway, what distinguished the Mondo films is also is often the music. And
yeah,
we should mention that we've got a particularly fabulous Spotify playlist this week, which harnesses, you know, the musical power of Mondo films, you know, the savage beats and
yeah,
the wonderful, very melodic, because there were some great composers involved, you know, again, thanks to the fact that it was Italian originated who came up with these Mondo films.
Yeah, and I mean, they have everything. They have like everything from big band to symphony orchestras to funky grooves, lots of instrumental pop,
yeah,
obviously a lot of sort of saxophone-drenched,
yeah,
slow striptease tunes, yeah.
But also
and it's great. And also, I don't know why, but it's also something that you can hear in also in the gialli from Italy and also in the spaghetti westerns, this female voices humming or children's voices humming the tune. We see that also or hear that also in the Mondo music.
Yes. And there are a few composers we should name check probably before we jump into the first film, because they span several of the films often. And I don't know if we mentioned individually, but we had Iris Ortolani, who did from my favorite Women of the World, but also the likes of, which we're not showing, Mondo Cane and Ecco, Mondo Candido. And
And he also actually made music for a feature film that we have on Cult Beasts called Castle of Blood.
Yes, great one. Yeah. And I'm reading here, and The Cannibal Holocaust, which we have a documentary about, if not the actual film.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And then we have Piero Umiliani, and he has a special place in our hearts.
Very special.
Because
he is the man mistaken for the Muppet Show theme. Whereas, of course, we know that it was originated for the sinful, naughty female nudity sauna sequence in Sweden, Heaven and Hell, or
indeed
Suecia, Inferno el Paradiso.
Inferno el Paradiso. Exactly. Mana Mana was made for this Italian film about the strange tribes of Sweden.
And then it was appropriated by Muppets, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. And he did also the music for Le Isole dell'Amore, a film called Forbidden Pleasures, Witchcraft 70, and Mondocane 2000, which was not 2000, but in 1971. So the genre kind of, in its original status, was on for about 10 years.
And not on this week, but later in the spring when we have the Mondo Tribal, the great late Ennio Morricone himself as well, with Malamondo.
Yes, he was there too, doing the music for a Mondo movie. That's pretty cool.
Everybody's been involved in exploitation at some stage of their career. But why don't we jump straight into the first Mondo sexy film theme, which you just spoke about, Hollywood World of Flesh, 1963. Which was American take on Italian sexy mondos with fakey documentary, supposedly about the movie capital of the world, and by our two favorites, Lee Frost and Bob Cressy. Now, we talked about it last week.
Yeah, and we played a little voiceover from it too, so but we can thoroughly recommend it. And they made a couple of the weirdest, worst Mondo movies ever, and we hope to get our hands on those later on.
Our filthy little hands, yes. Mm. So, starting at the beginning now, in Italy, with La Donna nel Mondo, or Women of the World, 1963, directed by Gualtiero Jacopetti, Paolo Cavara, and Franco Prosperi, the people who brought you Mondo Cane and Mondo Pazzo.
Yeah.
What I like about it is the fact that it's got none other than the great Peter Ustinov, famed from Hercule Poirot, who gives this Mondo thing an extra level of classiness with his very distinct voice, including, you know, the yucky kind of bits of the film.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that, you know, they try to balance the gratuity of the on-screen goings-on with a sophisticated voiceover to lend it sort of respectability. And it's the same as, although we're not showing it this week, Sweden, Heaven and Hell, which we have multiple voiceovers for. But the English one, I forget who does the actual voice, but he sounds exactly like James Mason.
Yeah, that's the kind of voice you would like for a movie like that.
So don't be ashamed for sitting in that, you know, dirty theater with sticky floors. You know, this is a respectable actor telling you about the depravities you're watching on the screen.
So Women of the World, basically, it's sort of a catalog of different habits in and cultures all over the world. So I don't know if there's a point of going through everything, but it's all about sexuality, about female sexuality. It's about how the concepts of beauty are so diverse in every culture, and also the cultural differences between the sexes. So, I mean, it's
a real travelogue in terms of locations. I mean, it's everywhere from Japan to Stockholm to the French Riviera, deep jungles of Borneo, Middle East with a camel dung on the face. It really does do justice to the term Mondo.
And we found the trailer of it, and I don't know really how they came about that, but the whole trailer is in rhyme.
Here begins our little story, which will tell about the glory of the woman who possesses an attraction that distresses in a way so violent an entire regiment. To enforce emancipation, she will thus defend the nation, swearing faith, as you can tell, to the army of Israel. Notwithstanding all the strain, she will gladly endure the pain. In a search of beauty and grace, she lets people skin her face. Less drastic in another place, they slap muck upon the face. It has perfume, don't you doubt it, and the flies are wild about it. And the women in Japan have another type of plan. They increase a certain section with a once-a-month injection of a strange medicine that they call paraffin. In America, their game is deception just the same, of another kind, it's true, using rubber, which they do to achieve the same result, and man's intelligence insult.
Now, I have to remember to put down my coffee mug when I say this in Italian voice, because, you know, hand gesture required. Sexy, proibidissimo. 1963.
Yes, exactly. You have to say it with both hands.
With both hands.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah, and this is the kind of films that I'm into, because it's not really the kind of serious, semi-serious film with your you know, straight voiceover. This is just insane. And it actually fits in with last week's theme of girls in fur bikinis.
Girls in fur bikinis, yes. I was going to say, the plot line, if you can call it that, of this kind of genre-busting epic is almost like a reverse version of Not Tonight, Henry, where he dreams himself back progressively through the historical ages and ends up in the cave man era. And here we start off with a prehistoric glimpse of the lady cave dwellers who do a striptease for the Neanderthal-y husband and then cheerfully moves on and removes the clothes throughout the ages, you know, in dipping into history, you know, with a liberal interpretation of what it was like, from Cleopatra, very hairy armpits in the milk bath, Lady Godiva riding through town, Hercules, you know, doing muscle man poses, and then it gets weirder.
Yeah, because then it falls off the tracks in terms of the historical correctness of it, because then it suddenly there are vampires and Frankenstein's lab and striptease in those environments.
We're saying that those are not actual historical occurrences and figures.
They shot everything with candid cameras.
I know, and they just, you know, cruelly leave out the striptease bits from the, you know, universal and traditional Hammer kind of versions of Frankenstein and
of course Dracula. They do. Yeah, it's horrible. And it, as if that wasn't enough, it ends up in the future. In space,
of course. Where else? Now, once again, our good friend Bob Cressy was involved, because he handled the US distribution and he wrote the narration. We don't know how much he changed between the Italian original and the American voiceover, but
we can just speculate.
In the 19th century, the striptease moved into the realm of horror. In a castle in Northern Europe, a vampire appeared for the first time. Vampires, as you know, reawaken on nights when there's a full moon and are seized with an uncontrollable urge to suck the blood of human beings. And since they never die, there are lots of them still around today. Luckily for them, the government has found full employment for them in the Federal Tax Bureau.
Violated Paradise, 1965. Not mondo in terms of being all over the world, it's just in one location, but it's definitely a mondo production in terms of, you know, how it came about.
Definitely. And this is all situated in Japan, where a young girl, I think she was supposed to be a modern day geisha in 1965, traveling all around Japan into the sort of flesh pots of the country.
Yes, so we learn a lot about Japan, but interestingly, not a Japanese production. It's an Italian production directed by an exiled Russian director via Hollywood. He worked in the 30s there, as a set designer on Broadway.
Yes, I think so. But both in Hollywood and Broadway. That's right, yeah.
So real, definitely kind of around the world.
In terms of the production.
In terms of production and around Japan in terms of the actual locations. So oddity, very interesting, and definitely, again, one of those time capsule films, because while it might have been staged and faked, it's not like he built elaborate sets to, you know, recreate something that wasn't. Just a slight twist on reality.
Amba women always remain at once bold and shy. Shy not because they are naked. In Japan, there is no shame in nakedness. It is natural. And to us, what is natural is healthy and good. In the West, people's worlds and lives are more complicated. They think differently. For them, nakedness awakens thoughts, desires. But for the Japanese, nakedness is next to godliness. It is the pure, natural, original state of man. It is a way of life, a way of the gods, a way considered healthier, cleaner, almost sacred.
Chained Girls, 1965. Tagline, wild women who need no men. So, not a chain gang prison movie.
And it's the taglines go on with a daring film about lesbianism today.
Yes, very LGBTQ.
Yeah, plus and this friendly. is something that we've had on Cultpix for a while, yeah. But we really want to lift this up because it's nuts.
It is. First of all, I don't think you'd get away with calling lesbians predatory she-wolves prowling the streets of Manhattan these days. I'm sure they have better things like hanging out in bars.
Yeah, so this is it's sort of a documentary about all the different varieties of lesbian women. And I love the sort of bottom line of it is, how did they become lesbians? Mm. Well, this is what the narrator says in the film. Psychiatric examinations have shown that lesbians had fathers that are psychopathic, alcoholic, or tyrannical. There you have it.
This theme week is, you know, just full-on appreciation of geography, psychology, history,
biology.
There's no branch of science or studies that isn't being desecrated.
Cultpix is all about didacting, you know, teaching people important stuff.
Major disclaimer, do not quote any of this in your university papers or tests
exactly.
Or studies. So, no, but what would you expect in terms of a sociological statement from the men, and it was men, who gave you films like White Slaves of Chinatown and Olga's House of Shame?
That's a really surefire sign of serious, serious intent.
Chained Girls, shocking, controversial, and daring story of the times. A story that has never been discussed in such detail and frankness. A story that will be with you for a long time to come. Lesbians so in love with one another that they are married and live as husband and wife. A bull dyke fighting to the death for her femme. A story that goes to the very source, the lesbian and her gay ones. The intimate story of the lesbians and their constant struggle to survive in a society that has judged them as outcasts and forces them to live in a secret society of their own. The story of the loves, the desires, the hates and fears of the lesbian. Beautiful young girls rejecting boys only to find contentment in the arms of another woman. Women leave their husbands, forsake their children and their homes for the love of another woman.
And the next film, maybe it doesn't really qualify, I would say.
Let's move it anyway.
Because I think it's also a typical, you know, sign of exploitation that you take what you can get and do something with it. So Mundo Depravados sounds very, very much like a... Mondo film about deprivation.
But it's Mundo, but not Mondo.
That's Mundo. It sounds more like sort of, I don't know, Portuguese, maybe?
Spanish.
I don't know. Or they just didn't know how to spell it, I guess. And basically it's also called World of the Depraved. But it's not a Mondo movie at all. It is a fictional feature film.
Yes. It's kind of Knives Out, but with more... nudity or...
With boobs.
Titillation. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Because main attraction of this is the gorgeously endowed and talented Tempest Storm.
Indeed. Who is in a couple of our burlesque films.
She is. And really, magnificent burlesque star, was never going to win an Oscar in the acting category.
No. Or as they say in something weird liner notes... She reads dialogue like it was a grocery list.
Mm, yes. But then again, nobody ever wanted to really pay to see her act, she was such a great burlesque dancer. So
That's true. And this film is it's really mind-boggling because it's so many genres mixing into one. So one minute it's a nudie, then it becomes a comedy, then a woman is getting stabbed, then it's a burlesque show. You know, your head will start spinning.
It's something for everybody.
Police department, Detective Riley, are you decent?
Just a minute. All right, come in. I'm not decent on this side of the screen, but I am decent on your side.
Lady, that's what you think. And keep your mind on official business.
I'd like to, but my mind has got away from it.
Well, where is it?
Right behind that screen.
I'll bring it out for you right now.
I'm Bill Wiley, and this is Ham Hamilton.
Glad to know you. As you know, I'm Tango.
Is Tango your real name?
It is now, by court order. I was born Gladys Warren.
We've come to Rio Nudo, who isn't a relative of mine, I should say.
I thought that was your sister.
No. She is Rebecca Nudo.
Okay, there you go.
This one's from 1969, and a travelogue to South America.
Just like Violated Paradise, this is about one country.
Yes.
Or one city, really.
But unlike Violated Paradise, here apparently life is cheap. I don't know if you can put a price on it in South America.
But in South America, life is always cheap.
Yes. So, swingiest, sleaziest travel video that could only be made there. Again, mixing up a bit like our previous Fur Bikini South American travelogue turned tribal-esque exploration. Tacky stock footage, narration, editing, and music. So it's fairly lo-fi, but it takes you inside on a kind of a sleazy tour of Rio de Janeiro's red light district and the kind of sex clubs, prostitutes, orgies, and, you know, barrels of garish exotic dances you'd expect to find there, all underpinned by this sort of endless, frantic Brazilian drumming that drives and fuels this erotic nightmare.
Yeah, indeed. And then it's also full of, as the narrator says, hidden camera footage. Mm. But the problem with that hidden camera footage is it has different angles. Mm. So they have been able to rearrange the camera and move the camera position and edit it. So
I don't think so. Are you saying it might not be entirely authentic?
No, exactly.
Well, it's still, for anybody who wonders what they might have missed out on in the kind of pre-AIDS, pre-modern, travel, atmosphere of the Carnivale in Rio in the 60s and the kind of sauciness and very adult entertainment the city had to offer back then, this is your go-to film.
Yeah, and as the narrator says, it's like the entire city took a large dose of LSD. So that's what you can expect.
It's trippy, man. That's what Bond
shall we listen about. Shall we listen to some of the drumming?
But some of their women must pay for the bread. The slender young woman standing near has been bought for an hour by the wealthy and perverted young socialite removing her dress. So desperate was this young prostitute for money that she agreed to allow the crew of Rio Uncensored to secretly film this twisted, erotic session with the Rio playgirl. That playgirl is not aware that we are just behind a curtain in the bedroom. This is Rio Uncensored.
And we end this world tour on home turf with a Mondo film that we made, or at least a title.
Yeah, the Swedes made one. I would say this is the only one that really qualifies as a Mondo film. And it's in Swedish, it's called Rapport från Stockholms Sexträsk. But we fittingly named it Mondo Stockholm, as it was never screened internationally. So we got the privilege of naming it.
We are the international distributor. So what was originally a kind of report from Stockholm's sex swamp.
Swamp, yeah.
Is this sort of drive-by night look at the dark underside of a city that we've explored before with porn cinemas and so on, but it's everything from the sex shops to the streetwalkers' favorite quarters to the porno cinemas to the kind of junkies and lowlifes that live by night. And it's, yeah, making Sweden look about as sleazy as would be possible, but not maybe entirely accurate again.
No, I think there are a couple of things that are fake. And then, of course, it has these endless striptease scenes with this specific stripper who looks so incredibly bored. Mm. It's very interesting that she really wasn't very enthusiastic about the task.
It definitely doesn't glamorize it, and she's no Tempest Storm.
No,
definitely.
No.
But there's callbacks and echoes, because obviously some of these have featured in other cult picks films with the kind of limited few, or many more, actually, nightclubs that existed, Chat Noir.
Yes, they are featured here, yes. And I mean, this is an era that we don't see even trace of it anymore.
No, but you can find it and spot it in films that were made. Was it only just the year before that Anita, Nymphet, was made?
Yes,
very much.
And she's walking that specific street with all of those sex shops.
Yeah. So music maybe not quite as good as some of the other ones, but it definitely is that trip back in time until the invent of time machine. Allowing us to revisit these kind of seedy streets of Stockholm. The only thing missing is a kind of a Swedish taxi driver going through them in slow motion.
Yeah. But this is a week we are really, truly happy about. And the next Mondo theme that we all sort of call Mondo Tribal or something about that. It's not just about the tribes of Africa. It's also about the tribes of Sweden. So we hope you will enjoy that. And it's going to be crammed with films. I think it's about 15 titles or something like that.
Yes. Just for fun, we should have played Lisa Stansfield All Around the World, or Been Around the World. But there's so much great music in this. So why don't we finish with a musical clip and remind people to listen to the Spotify playlist where we've expanded this, and you can listen to the songs in full. I should also say, I keep forgetting to do this every week, if you're listening to this and you've listened all the way to the end and you listen regularly, please, please, please rate us, review us, say nice things about us on whatever platform you're getting us from. It improves the chances of us being heard by more people. And we should mention, we have had over, drum roll, how many downloads?
3,000 downloads. And we are so happy about that.
We are.
So thanks to everyone who's listening to us.
Really appreciate it. So let's reward you with a musical treat to end this Mondo Spectacular Coldpix Radio WCPX 66.6 show with me, your host, Django Nudo.
And me, your funny sidekick.